On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman. And you listen to Redskins Talk with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley here, Redskins Talk Podcast. Big week coming up. The Redskins are traveling to the Pacific Northwest to take on the Seattle Seahawks. If you're listening to this, you probably know that the Skins have had an awful tough time playing the Seahawks. Recent history, last 10, 12 years or so, Skins have lost a couple playoff games up there. I was there for one of them. I drove from San Francisco overnight. It was a pretty wild time in my life when I was young and single and not married and didn't have a baby. It was a different era back then, but a lot of fun. That stadium's pretty wild. I'm excited to see it this Sunday from a working capacity. Skins have lost two in a row. Seahawks have won four in a row. We're going to dive into all of that stuff. We got a pretty full podcast coming your way. Rich Chandler's going to be on, of course. We're going to go over our over-unders. We're going to give you our predictions. We have one of the coolest Fan Friday segments, really just a heartwarming story between a Redskins fan and running back Chris Thompson. You guys are going to love that. Rich Chandler's here, everybody. Taylor,
hello.
Say what's up.
What's up?
All right, Chandler and I are here. We want to talk briefly about trades, just because that dominated a lot of the week. Basically, I asked Jay Gruden, hey, were there any trade discussions around the Redskins? And he said, yeah, we were interested, but we just don't know what our roster looks like, and that didn't allow us to make any moves.
Right. I mean, if they have I think there were 14 players either limited or out yesterday on that would be on Wednesday. I think it's about the same number today. Although I think one moved to Zach Brown moved to full, so maybe it's a lot. It's a good chunk of your roster. When you have that many people gone, you don't know who if somebody wanted to trade for a player, trade you a pick, you send them a player. You don't know who you can send them because you might be taking away depth in a particular position that you need. And B, if somebody wanted to send you a player, you have to cut somebody to make room for that player on the roster. So you don't know really who you can cut.
Well, and I think we're seeing that situation right now with D'Angelo Hall. I think the Redskins would like to have Hall active, but they're not sure where they can make a roster move.
Yeah, they're going to need to wait and see if their offensive line, if they can let go of one of the 12 offensive linemen
they have.
The fact that
they have 12 guys shows you how little.
Yeah. And they need them, though. It's
right.
Not even.
They may need all of them.
Yes. And, Hall might have to wait another week. Now, we'll have to see if Monte Nicholson can play. He's been limited all week. Because if he can't, they have two safeties, and I think they'll just have to figure out a way to add D'Angelo Hall as a third.
Right. And, you know, I tried to kind of get some information out of Jay on the safety depth chart, and he didn't really answer me. He said, we'll just have to see.
No, he shut you down.
Yeah.
like he
did. And he's like, we'll have to see on Sunday. I don't think that was Jay being a jerk. I don't think he knows.
They don't.
Right.
At this point.
All right. So, obviously, a lot to discuss around Skins, Seahawks. as we always do on Fridays, we're going to hit our over-unders. I want to set the stage for everybody real quick. Taylor and I are recording this thing Thursday afternoon at Redskins Park. The Skins practiced a little – they practiced a little later in the day when they're going out west just to try to let the guys – Taylor thinks it's so they can sleep in the morning. I think it's just to kind of get their body acclimated to later in the day for when they get out there. Everybody's traveling out to Seattle Friday afternoon, except Taylor, you're going Friday morning.
Right.
I'm going Friday afternoon. Local celebrity Mitch Tischler is going Friday afternoon. It's going to be fun. This one is going to be tough. Before we get to our predictions, let's go through the over-unders. Taylor, I believe you have the numbers.
I do. Let me pull them up right here. Okay. We always go with Kirk Cousins passing. We've got him at 270.5.
Oh, Kirk. It was an interesting comment on Thursday. Jay Gruden was asked about Kirk Cousins being comfortable versus forcing Kirk Cousins to make some plays that maybe he's not as comfortable. Going downfield, maybe throwing some 50-50 balls, giving receivers a chance. I thought Jay's reply was pretty honest. Just that at a certain – I'm not sure when the point in time will be, but at some point he's going to want Kirk going downfield. But at the same time, he's never mad with a complete pass. They just have to look at what else was there.
Right. So, and he said he could throw 60 touchdown passes
right, so
if he did things his way.
What? But Kirk said if he played quarterback the way Jay wants him to, he'd throw 20 interceptions. And Jay's rebuttal was, yeah, but he'd also throw 60 touchdowns.
Right.
Which is pretty funny.
It was funny.
And you know what else? I don't know if you heard this. Rex Grossman was on with Cooley and Sheehan in the morning. And listening to Rex talk about how he played quarterback and then kind of being friends with Kirk and watching Kirk's game, I got a kick out of the juxtaposition of the Rex canon versus the very scientific and formulaic
analytical
Kirk Cousins. Right.
Yes.
That is a long-winded non-answer, however.
Yes.
I'm going to go over. I think the Skins are going to have to throw the ball to beat the Seahawks. Deshaun Watson just torched them last week. I think Kirk's got to get to 285 for a win, in my mind.
I could get a 300 for a win.
300? Listen 300. To Taylor, all hip. So we're both going over?
Yes.
Okay. We made that pick on TV for Redskins game plan, so I'm sticking with it. But I'm kind of tempted to go under now, but I'm sticking with the over for the record.
Okay.
All right, what's up next?
Chris Thompson, combined yards from scrimmage, I should point out, 85.5.
You love that little clarification that kickoff return yards don't count.
Right, well, because he did have some kickoff returns against the yards against the Cowboys.
And a fumble. In the rankings of things that annoy me is how much you enjoy pointing that out, that yards from scrimmage is not total yards every time we do Chris Thompson. Similarly, Troy Macker, one of the producers, the senior producer on our digital desk, drives me nuts whenever I put Vegas in a headline as kind of a euphemism for betting conversation. And he's like, well, no, technically that's offshore. That drives me nuts too.
Okay, well,
no
I think,
comment?
I think thicker skin. That's what I would suggest.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. Nothing I do drives anybody crazy. So
no. No, you're right.
Except my wife and my constant ability to lose things. I was convinced I lost my cell phone at my daughter's preschool. I called them. They started looking around for it. Then I found it in the car. There's a quick nugget about my life and what a mess I am. Taylor's just laughing.
There we go. It's just true.
Yeah, every day is a new adventure.
All right. I almost walked out without his car keys yesterday.
But I
just
came back
sitting on the desk.
I need places to put things.
How about a pocket? Your car keys.
But I hate having stuff in my pockets.
Well, that's going to be an issue then.
Yeah, I know.
Unless you want to start carrying around a man purse. But you just lose that.
Over, under number of room keys I get in Seattle.
10.
I mean, I'll easily
we're there,
go through
yeah,
like
we're
five.
Yeah, we're there for three nights.
Yeah. Over, under 4.5.
Okay.
All right, Chris
anyway,
Thompson.
Back to Chris. 85 and a hook.
I'm going under, and here's why. I think they've got to get back to Rob Kelly on the ground. I think you got to get Rob Kelly to 14, 15 carries in this thing. Seattle can be beat on the ground. I wrote about this in my game preview. They rank in the bottom third in the league in rush yards allowed. I think the way for the Skins to win is getting back to what they did against the Raiders and the Rams, where they ran the ball a ton. They had more than 30 carries by running backs in both of those wins. In their losses, their running backs don't have more combined than 20 carries. You got to get Rob Kelly going on the ground. In turn, I think that cuts into some of Thompson's yardage. And Thompson gives us such a good interview later in this podcast. I think he'll still get his through the air, but I think 75 seems right for Chris.
Well, that sounds like a good plan on paper, but I just asked Jay Gruden about Rob Kelly, and he is not really quite there
from
that ankle injury.
Yeah.
He said he maybe tried to come back on it too soon. He said he got it aggravated in a pileup in Dallas or against Dallas. So I just don't know if he's ready to get those 15 carries yet. I bet, you know, 8 or 10 might be his ceiling, and I think you're going to see Chris Thompson. Well, P. Ryan will get some, but I think they want to move the ball. I think Chris Thompson, you know, I think they're hesitant to play P. Ryan behind that inexperienced offensive line.
What is the pick here, then?
Over.
Over.
And I think he might get a big play in the passing game, too.
I mean, they need
a screen. If they can get that. Now, if Sheriff plays and Sheriff can get out there on the screen,
yeah,
that helps a lot.
And Brandon Sheriff practiced on Thursday. I mean, it was limited. But him being out there would be a very big deal for this team. I Taylor, you did good. You kind of turned away from the microphone.
I did. You know what? Probably nobody would have known it because these things are pretty well directionally done, but nobody would have known it.
Well, I'm here.
Kevin Kessler, just cut this part out.
I'm here to report
Martin,
the truth.
Doing this.
Well, you know who's doing this. Are you excited?
Pete Haley, please cut this out.
Folks, this is an exciting moment. This is Pete Haley's first podcast that he is going to be the audio director.
Engineer.
Yeah, so if it sucks, direct all your hate mail to Pete Haley. And if you like it, just talk to me and Taylor. All right, So we're together on Cousins. We both said over. We're split on Thompson. You're going over. I'm going under. And our third one is Josh Doctson, Terrell Pryor combined for 5.5 catches. Do I have that right?
You have that right.
I'm going over, man. I got 4 catches for Doctson, and I got 2 for Pryor. If Kirk's going to get to 300, as you like to say, Taylor, he's got to go to these receivers, especially because I don't know what's going on with Jamison Crowder. That hamstring is a nagging injury.
Yeah, and that probably puts Grant in the slot.
And they're going to have no Jordan Reed.
Yeah. Ooh, this is going to get they might have to bring a receiver up if they have a spot.
It could be Mo Harris,
man. Mo Harris might be no, they'd probably go Harris over Davis, the rookie, I would think. If they go with either, but I will also go over. I got Pryor with 4.
Pryor with 4, yeah, and Doctson
been
with how
dealing
many?
With 3 or 4
bone bruises for Pryor.
Yes,
I also think this isn't about throwing the ball downfield because that is a perception issue, and Kirk is very good at taking what the defense gives him. But they have got to try to. I think they got to try to force the ball to these receivers. You know. I get that folks are upset that Terrell Pryor's had some drops, but he's getting the ball thrown to him 2 or 3 times a game. That number should be 7 or 8.
Yeah. And he I think he wrote about or talked about Pierre Garçon. You know, he was getting 7 targets every game just about the whole time he was here with Gruden.
Wow, Taylor. Breaking news on the podcast. I'm just seeing this on Twitter. Texans fear Deshaun Watson suffered a torn ACL in practice.
Ooh.
Non-contact.
Ooh.
Wow, that's good. Coming from Ian Rappaport. Wow. That's a bummer. That kid's playing so well.
That is bad.
I mean, gosh, you hate to see that. By all accounts, he's a great person, great football player.
Yep.
That is sad, man. So let's hope that
initial diagnosis is incorrect.
That's a bummer. I hope that is not the case. All right, back to the lecture at hand.
Okay.
All right, so we're both saying over on receivers?
Yes.
All right, so we only disagree on Chris Thompson.
Chris Thompson.
Man.
85-5.
Lot of doing for Chris Thompson because, folks, as you may well know, I am up on Taylor on the year. I have 4 wins in over-unders. Taylor has 3 wins.
Yep.
So I'm looking to pad my lead a little, get some separation here.
Be tough to catch up with.
Yeah, 1 game. All right, it's time for the prediction, RT. You want to go first?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I think I've picked the Skins to win just about every week.
Pretty much.
I have found – in my head, watching this team every day, I can see a path to how they win. I don't see it this week. And a lot of it is the travel and the location and just playing in Seattle. But that Seahawks team, I think it could be back and forth. I think it could be tight. If you like the Skins plus the 7, I don't think you're crazy. But that team finds a way to win at home. And they almost always do it. I think if this was in D.C., it'd be an entirely different game. But I got the Seahawks winning this thing maybe 30-24, something like that.
I was thinking 30-20, something like that, Seahawks. I mean, you're right. It's just hard to see how they can pull this one out. They don't, you know, and the main reason, really, is Russell Wilson. Seahawks are far from one-man team, but, you know, he just takes charge of that thing when they're in trouble. Like against the Texans, kept on scoring on them. Wilson would always find a way to answer.
And Jimmy Graham. The Skins have been so bad against tight ends, and Graham is one of the best going. I think he had a pair of touchdown catches last week. He seems to be getting healthy, getting right. I know he's questionable with his ankle, but I think they just gave him veteran days off at this point. I think Graham, Doug Baldwin, they have some weapons. Now, the Seahawks can't run the ball at all, which is actually good for the Skins because I think with Allen and Ioannidis gone, the Skins can't stop the run. We saw that last week against Dallas.
Well, that was Ezekiel Elliott, too.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is a good run team.
Right.
But I think the Seahawks are going to attack Washington through the air. I think that's good for Washington. I think they're equipped to handle it. But what scares me, and I don't know if we talked about this, is the Seahawks and Russell Wilson are so good at converting third downs. And the Skins are so bad at stopping third downs. I mean, they're almost in mirror image opposite places in the NFL ranks. I think the Seahawks are 6th in the league at converting third downs. I think the Skins are 23rd or 24th in the league at giving up third down conversions.
Yeah, and they actually improved against Dallas. They were worse than that going into that game.
So I feel like I see these long drives where Russ makes crazy plays and they just keep the ball. Certainly we could be wrong, but I to me, this the Redskins' schedule is oddly shaping up for them to maybe make a run on the back half when they get Arizona and Denver at home. You get two games against the Giants. You get the Cowboys without Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, that's true. But, man, if they go in, they go 3-5 after this, Vikings leading their division after that
at
home, at Saints leading their division. So, you know,
if they do drop this one, I think that Vikings game becomes must win.
Become must win.
Okay, that is it for me and Rich. Guys, listen to this. This is a avid podcast listener, a guy by the name of Bailey Fink, is going to tell you a story that is really, really cool. And then Chris Thompson, the Redskins offensive MVP for the first half of the year, is going to respond to Bailey Fink's story. This is a Fan Friday for the ages. I think you're going to really enjoy it.
Hey, JP and Rich. My name is Bailey Fink. I am a longtime Redskins fan and diehard fan of the podcast. I just wanted to get in touch with you guys and tell a really quick story about my interaction with a Redskins player recently. The Redskins MVP this year is clearly Chris Thompson, and I had written to him on Twitter saying how I can't believe he was on the practice squad at one point in time, and he's the definition of earning your spot and making your way. And after that, he had direct messaged me on Twitter and offered to send me a jersey, which was amazing in itself, just out of the goodness of his heart. And it showed up and he signed it and it's amazing. But the truly amazing part about it is that he just did that out of the goodness of his own heart. I have had so much going on lately. My father's health has been very poor for a long time, and most recently it kind of took a little bit of a turn, and it's just been a really, really hard time for me and my family right now. And that jersey just meant everything in the world to me, and I just want him to know that that was the greatest thing that anyone could have done for me at this point in time. So he's a good guy on the field, he's a good guy off the field. I just truly, truly appreciate it. And it's something that I will absolutely never forget.
Absolutely. As promised, here is the man himself, the Redskins offensive MVP, at least certainly here in the first half of the year, Chris Thompson. Chris, you just heard that story from Bailey Fink, who is a fan of yours. What's your reaction when you hear the impact you can make for fans?
It's big, man. I'm a type of guy where I like to kind of do things, backstage, I guess.
Under the radar, kind
of. Under the radar. That's what I was trying to think of. And, that situation with that guy, it was just, he said something as simple as, he remembering I was on practice squad and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, let me just send this guy a jersey. And it was one of those things, like, I didn't have any conversations with him about his dad and what was going on with his family, but...
So did you just DM him, hey, what's your address?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I just DM'd him, and I was like, I'm going to send you a jersey, send me your address. It was just like that. And then, he went on to start telling me about his dad and everything, and, I don't know. It was just something just told me to do it at that time, just send him a jersey. I don't know why him.
How do you do that often?
Actually, I don't.
And I'm not trying to get 100 people to start asking you for jerseys.
Yeah, no, it's
right.
It's not something that I'll just kind of do it at random. So it's been, maybe two or three people that I've done that for.
That's crazy.
It just happens. Yeah, and it's just crazy that it was him, and he was going through some stuff with his family, and it just at least that moment of him receiving that jersey and just having some conversation with me made his day a little better.
Sure. And I mean, that's one of those you kind of smile and you're everything happens for a reason, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's wild, man. Well, thank you for letting us share the story. And thank you to Bailey, too, for sharing the story with us. That's a heck of a Fan Friday segment. But while we got you here, let's talk about your success on the field this year. Killing it, running the ball, killing it, receiving. What is different for you in 2017? Are you just getting more opportunities?
I think over time, as time has gone on, I've matured. My game has gotten better because I'm more mature. I understand the game better. I'm able to play the game way more under control than I used to. And one thing that's really been helping me out is obviously the screen game. And that was something I struggled with when I got in this league. And, now I've been able to be patient, and then coach has been just putting me in the perfect situations to be able to make plays, and that's been one thing I've been wanting to do, is just be able to make a difference on this team and make whatever plays possible to just help us win.
And how important is specifically being more patient? Because you've told me earlier in your career sometimes you would just rely on your speed early, mm-hmm. in plays.
It's really big. It's more of just giving my offensive line time to block their guys, receivers, to get their jobs done. And then me one-on-one, just having routes coming out of the backfield, just being patient with my routes also has helped me a lot, helped me get open. And Kirk has been able to find me. And I've been able to make some big plays, convert some big third downs. And, it's just really been working out for us. And, I'm always one of those guys where I want to continue to make plays. And, we're under 500 right now, so I'm hard on myself. I feel like I haven't made enough, so I'm going to just continue to try to get better.
Let me read you a stat, man. This is a pretty remarkable. Through seven games since 2000, you rank third among all running backs in receiving yards. So,
wow.
So you want to hear – I mean, I'll show it to you so you can just look yourself. The top of that list is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. So that our listeners know, Marshall Faulk is at the top of this list with 494 receiving yards through seven games. Then Charlie Garner on those really good Raiders teams that
Jay's brother John mm-hmm. was coaching at 449, and then Chris Thompson third with 442.
That's awesome.
Did you grow up loving Falk? Like, who? What running backs did you watch as a kid?
LaDainian Tomlinson LaDainian. Was my guy. Yeah. So, I mean, just to see those numbers, it feels good to be up there with some guys like that. But, you know, I want to be one of those guys, get over 1,000 receiving, you know. And if I can do that, then hopefully that means we're winning games.
You're too. On track for yeah. it, certainly.
So, you know, that's my goal, just continue to make plays. If that happens, that would be something real nice and be a big cap off to this season.
How tough is it with everything going on with these injuries, dude?
It's hard. It's
wild.
Yeah. It's crazy. Just I don't think I've ever seen this many guys have injuries where, you know, it's hard to even find 46 to dress right now.
Right.
It's tough, but we just got to suck it up as a team and just continue to fight with the guys that we have.
Working with new offensive linemen kind of up and down the roster, up and down the positions, how much do you have to change your game or try to talk to those guys or anything like that?
I mean, it's tough for those guys, so I just have to continue to communicate with them and just be patient with them, because you can't get aggravated with guys like that. They're young. They're, you know, still trying to get a feel for the game, so I just got to be patient with them. And Coach Callahan, he's doing a great job with them, so with time, they'll be good.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, you've become really good at picking up blitzes. Does Kirk ever, like, all right, man, I owe you a burger, or are you really saved me there?
No, it's just one of them things.
Get you some Shake Shack or something.
No, man, that's my job, so I don't need anything, no praise or anything for doing my job.
I'm giving that's you praise if that helps.
And
counts.
I appreciate that, but, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. Kirk, he tells me all the time, like, he appreciates my pass blocking and being able to block this guy on this play for him to get the ball downfield and make some big plays. So that's one of the things I want to continue to do, continue to be a good pass blocker.
We can go speed round. I know you got a meeting to run to. What did you dress up for Halloween?
Nothing. I didn't do anything, man.
No?
Sadly, no.
Did you at least give candy out?
Nope.
No kids come to the house, or do you just turn the lights off, pretend you're not home?
No, my girlfriend, we took her son out.
Oh, okay.
And that was it, yeah.
You know what I've learned about being an adult, taking kids around trick-or-treating?
What's that?
Everybody just gives you alcohol. Like, every house you go to, they're like, oh, you want a beer? did you get the same experience?
No, that didn't happen. We just kind of let the kids go up to the doors.
Well, dude, next time, come to my neighborhood, and everywhere we go, they're giving out beer.
I got you.
All right, so Popeyes or KFC?
Popeyes.
It's a landslide, right?
Yes.
That has been a very heated debate among the media, and I think it shouldn't even be any sort of debate. I know you got to run. This is your opportunity to speak directly to Redskins fans. Tell them anything you want.
Just don't give up on us. We're going to continue to fight. We got a lot of injuries. You know, we got a good group of guys in here that love the game of football. So just be patient with us. Trust in this. Trust in Coach Gruden and this whole coaching staff, and we're going to get it together.
Cold rain in Seattle. You ready for it?
Absolutely not.
Chris, thank you very much, man.
Thank you.
That is just so damn cool, and to kind of get to be the vehicle that lets Thompson hear from Bailey directly, I enjoyed. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Stories like that are why fans are so intense and why the burgundy and gold means so much to so many people. I hope you guys liked it as much as I did. So now is the time. I got a tease to drop, Tandler. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
We are going to have a big podcast announcement Sunday night after the Seahawks game. So Tandler and I, as always, will do our podcast after the Seahawks game, and there will be a big announcement for you guys. Stay tuned. It centers around the Vikings game. You ready, Tandler?
Yeah.
All right. It's going to be fun. We're up to 65 reviews. The challenge is 100 by Thanksgiving. I'm pleading with you guys for more reviews. Tandler, plead with the folks.
Come on. Hey, it only takes a second. Just, you know, some quick thoughts. You can give me a hard time. You can give especially give JP a hard time. Local celebrity Mitch Tischler, don't give him a hard time. He's big.
All right. I'm going to read this review to honor our new podcast producer, Pete Haley. This guy only gave us 4 stars. Almost all of our reviews are 5 stars, but MBBHTTR only gave us 4 stars. He said, content good, audio bad. They do give a good amount of quality content, although they predict the Skins to win more than they should. We both just predicted a loss. Anyway, audio is horrible. Someone get an engineer and fix the levels. Not just one of them being a loud talker. I think that's me. But phone calls and mic levels. You owe me a sandwich. I don't drink. So MBBHTTR, I'll see what I can do about your sandwich, dude. I got a plan. I'm sorry if you think the audio's bad. I think it's not too bad. I think Tandler likes it.
I wish there was a better way to do that.
Sometimes that's the only option.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when we're going emergency podcast, that's what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you so much for listening, as always. We love all the reviews. Survivor Pool is still up and running. A bunch of folks deserve credit. Mostly, I think we still have 9 people that have not, that haven't gotten one wrong so far, which is impressive. I think Kev Howe might be the winner this week. That's my guess. For Tandler, I am JP Finley. Thank you very much for listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.